You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Now, Ireland's Rugby World Cup dreams smashed to pieces by the All Blacks yesterday. It finished New Zealand 46, Ireland 14. Not the end outgoing coach Joe Schmidt and captain Rory Best wanted. A penny for the thought as well of our next coach, Andy Farrell, a trusted member of Smith's coaching staff, who will be tasked with picking up the pieces of Ireland's record seventh World Cup quarterfinal exit. Trading 22-0 at the break, things got slightly better in the second half with two tries, but it wasn't enough to spark a dramatic comeback. And Japan 2019, for Ireland anyway, has come to a close. The All Blacks will go on to face England in the semi-finals, an England team who beat Australia yesterday. Anyway, Shane, give us your thoughts. What type of words would you use to describe everything that happened yesterday in Ireland's game?
Look, very disappointing, to be honest with you. To be slightly critical for a few minutes, I suppose, the big game players that we've had over the years just didn't stand up for us at all. The accuracy wasn't there, the kicking game was very poor. The defence was aggressive to a degree, but not effective. You know, there were so many things just weren't right. And this is the issue, I suppose, that's very disappointing for the players, for the people who are stepping down from the green jersey, both management and playing. But, you know, it just wasn't good enough yesterday at all. So many of the problems that we had were self-inflicted. Basic errors, silly decisions, wrong execution of game plans. You know, just a very, very disappointing day at the office. And again, you've got to say it doesn't take away from what New Zealand have done. They are absolutely hitting incredible form right at the right time. We were up against a superb, very, very clinical side yesterday who took their opportunities brilliantly. But it is, and it, you know, a real feeling of the end of an era of the Joe Schmidt way it's been. But it is something that we have to think about, the way we look at our cycles in rugby. You know, not alone did we peak in 2018. We were the world's best team. We couldn't be beaten. And we were just such an effective side in 2018. And the way Irish rugby is taught is that everything is about the Six Nations. But maybe that needs to turn now, and we really do have to start planning for World Cups.
Yeah, and the atmosphere yesterday as well. You know, Ireland's call, the emotion on Rory Best's face,
yeah,
the famous haka being drowned out by the fields of Athenry as well. Have you ever seen, you know, a previous 5 minutes just before a game, Shane, like that? It was just unbelievable to watch, really.
Look, we all know the fans are fantastic. And that was, you know, a lot of teams debate how to react to the haka and what way to do it. It really is a huge mental boost for the players doing the haka. But that was, it couldn't have been any more perfect. The Irish supporters' reaction to the haka was fantastic. Singing out the fields of Athenry, drowning it out completely. And it was noticeable massively on the telly the way it was done. Really did set up the game fantastically, but unfortunately the team weren't up for it, and that's the sad point, is this set of players have given us so many fantastic days, so many records, so many first-offs, you know, through the years that they've been together, but unfortunately this was a bad day, and it can't be, you know, unfortunately buttered any other way.
Let's check in now with the Ireland camp, the coach Joe Schmidt, who spoke to Irish Rugby TV.
Well, Joe Schmidt, Irish coach, I know a disappointing end for you. I mean, to give the All Blacks a 22-point head start, you just can't do that, can you?
No, and it wasn't just the 22 points, it was all the ball we gave them. I think we missed touch on penalties for us to get good field position three times, and it just meant that that we were chasing our tail, and they had so much ball in our 22 and our half in that first half that it was very, very tough going.
And I suppose when you do drop those balls, it's hard to get your attacking game into effect, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a few chances in that first half. I think, one of the tries, the third try that the All Blacks scored, we had a really good gap on the inside. We just didn't quite play it. We just didn't quite have a feel. We've been a little bit flat all season, which is disappointing. Maybe we were great last year and we just maybe come off the top of that and haven't quite been where we wanted to be all year.
I suppose you would have heard Rory's words, being a legend, what he's done for Irish rugby. He mentioned you. I mean, 6 years, three Six Nations, the first time ever beating your Blacks at home. Once again, Coach, I'll let you have the last word.
Look, I'd just like to thank my players, and I'd like to thank these supporters that we've that followed us all over the place. Rory's led the team incredibly well, and Paul O'Connell before him, and it's been a privilege for me.
Shane, let's talk first about Joe Schmidt and the legacy that he will leave, and, you know, some interesting footage yesterday of him sitting in the coach's box beside Andy Farrell pondering, you know, what was going on, and then the lovely moment of him actually walking down the steps just before the final whistle, shaking hands with the Irish fans. That was a nice moment on a difficult day, and, you know, an awful way to end his tenure. But he is also remaining in Ireland, which we spoke about recently, and maybe he will have a role to play in Irish rugby moving forward. But the day after what happened yesterday, how do you think his legacy will be remembered with Six Nations and you know, other amazing feats in previous years?
Yeah, look, I suppose in hindsight, it'll be fantastic that, you know, the record that we had over the last few seasons, you know, the couple of Grand Slams, championship wins, you know, firsts against New Zealand, you know, away tour wins in Australia, wins in South Africa. You know, all of these things were amazing achievements. But unfortunately, yes, there is no doubt about it. It will be shadowed by this. You know, the World Cups have been disappointing for him, for different reasons, and this one will be remembered. You know, there, unfortunately, 2018 wasn't a great year. We shipped record losses, you know, to England, and World Cup losses yesterday, and these are things that, you know, unfortunately do stick. But we have to rebuild. You know, we've a Six Nations around the corner, be with us a lot sooner than people expect, and, you know, that's something that rugby just has to be thinking along the lines of what we want to do. Is it really a World Cup cycle we want, or is it just success in the Six Nations? We've got to be thinking forward now about what the priorities are, because, you know, this thing of the quarterfinals and World Cups has to finish at some point.
Yeah, and the person that is thinking forward now is Andy Farrell, who is effectively the Ireland coach from today, because Ireland are knocked out of the World Cup, and he was, you know, right-hand man to Joe Schmidt and sitting beside him in the coach's box yesterday, I'm sure having similar thoughts to Joe. But knowing that he's the man now that has to take over, that has to pick the players up, that has to make decisions maybe on players who won't play for Ireland again, and players who maybe will be in the squad for the first time for the new campaign. So interesting to hear the internal thoughts of Andy Farrell and the job that faces him ahead.
There's no doubt about it that, you know, it'll be time to stock up for a while, but yeah, there'll be a few players. It'll naturally happen anyway, that there'll be a few players who just won't wear the green again. But, you know, Andy will have to put his mark on it as well. He can't just continue with the same old, same old. Joe reverted to type, you know, for this game, went back to his tried and trusted players, you know, and sound logic behind that as well, in fairness. But you can see, I would say, Andy moving on a bit from that. He's, I suppose, a very direct man, probably a bit more abrupt than Joe is. Like, I know Joe, we all had him as the, you know, guys were very, very scared of him, which is a good way to have it, in the nicest kind of way. But, yeah, it's a big task ahead of him. It's been rebuilt. We were the best team in the world, you could debate, for two seasons, 2017, but definitely 2018. But that made us the most analysed team in the world as well. And unfortunately, it just looked like that teams figured us out, and we just didn't move on, and we just didn't add to our attacking abilities. And that just was where we stopped. And that's when, in the Six Nations in 2018, that's where it started. 2019, that's where it started. And unfortunately, that's where it stayed.
Yeah, Ireland players Josh van der Fleer, Andrew Porter and Luke McGrath have been trying to make sense of what happened yesterday. Chatting to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan.
The common theme here today seems to be that it was a fantastic week of preparation. Do you have any idea why the performance underwhelmed today, or why there was an underperformance? Can you put your finger on it just yet?
I don't know. I guess it was key moments are these games. I know the scoreline doesn't seem like it, but they're the tightest margins, and I think we didn't put a lot of pressure. They had a lot of the ball. We didn't hold on to the ball very well, and we gave away a few too many penalties, which has been kind of what we've normally been quite good at. So I suppose it's those key moments, and then once you're behind in a game, you start chasing. You can't you're probably trying to run the ball a bit more, and they're putting a lot of pressure on, and they have a bit of wind behind them then. So yeah, it was disappointing.
Yeah, like you say, it's fine margins, and it certainly was at points in the first half. The scoreboard would suggest that it's bigger margins, but you say it's probably not. The scoreboard probably doesn't reflect the gap between the teams, or what do you think about that?
Well, I suppose you can't take away from New Zealand. They're brilliant, and you give them opportunities to score, and they'll score. So, yeah, we're disappointed. We feel we're a better team than that scoreline anyway, obviously. But, yeah, we suppose we let them into the game, and then once you're chasing, you're trying to force things, and then they just capitalise on that. So,
what are the emotions after that, Luke?
Yeah, it's fairly disappointing. There's a lot of kind of uncharacteristic mistakes out there from us, and you just can't give, you know, ball cheaply away to the All Blacks. They'll punish you, and to be fair to them, they did. Every opportunity we gave them, they ended up scoring, and bitterly disappointed for everyone in there. It's a very quiet change room, as you can imagine, and you know, it's a tough for Besty and Joe as well.
Was there ever any sense this week during the preparation that performance might be below the level you expected?
The preparation was good all week. We were confident going in. You know, we knew they would be up for it as well, as they were. But you know, I think the tries they got, they didn't have to work very hard. They were kind of off our little mistakes, which is, you know, uncharacteristic of us. But yeah, look, it's kind of hard to kind of, because I was warming up, it's kind of hard to, like, I'll have to look back in the game and see where we went wrong. But you know, they're a class outfit, and any mistake you make, they're going to pounce on it, and they did.
It's very, very hard at this kind of juncture to actually kind of put your finger on it, I'd imagine, but Joe was kind of saying that perhaps there was a slip off from last year, and it's just a bit uncontrollable. Like, is there anything that you've managed to figure out in terms of why that slip happened from last year?
No, it's a hard one to put your finger on. You know, you're kind of, you know, we trained well all the week, but it's a very difficult to put your finger on. I suppose it's kind of, you know, where do we go from here? You know, we're gonna have to look at that, our performances in the World Cup, and try and, you know, look to improve, because everyone goes back to their clubs now. We disperse, and you know we're gonna have to fly into a big upcoming Six Nations now.
And you brought a hard luck. What are the emotions at the moment?
That's fairly quiet dressing room at the moment, but sure. Yeah, what can you do after that, really? It's like 4 months of preparation, and then you kind of end up coming up short in the quarterfinals, I think. But yeah, obviously it's a bit kind of disheartening, a small bit, but yeah, we'll pick ourselves up.
Like, it has been like 4 months preparation, as you say, but it's also been kind of 4 years of this kind of looming over our trophy, the potential of going out of the World Cup quarterfinal again. Did we overthink things, I wonder, in terms of like getting too wound up about going out of the World Cup quarterfinal stage?
No, we weren't thinking that at all. Like, we were, like, I kind of try to switch off from a lot of the media, like what's on social media and stuff, so we're kind of in such a bubble that kind of we're just kind of focused on what we can do. So yeah, like, obviously things didn't go our way today. Like, we made a few mistakes, and I don't think that's really reflective of what we're about, really. So and obviously we can't give a team like New Zealand those mistakes, because they just they take advantage of them, and kind of score got away from us after a while. And yeah, it was a tough day.
When did you realise that perhaps 2019 wasn't going to be as successful a year as 2018? Did you notice at all that the performance level slipped or anything like that?
Not really. Like, you have some, like, a hiccup every now and again, like Japan, like in the pool stages, but we were able to pick ourselves up the week after, and then the week after that, and all we were looking to do was bring our best performance into this week. But like I said, a few mistakes here and there has kind of cost us. So
yeah, the voices of Ireland players Josh van der Fleer, Luke McGrath and Andrew Porter speaking to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Shane, finally, Rory Best, the captain, subbed in the 62nd minute. Proper raw emotion of him coming off. His 124th cap, his debut back in 2005, a full professional career with Ulster spanning a similar timeline too. We're going to hear from Rory in a moment to finish the show this morning, but just for yourself, what type of things would you think of when we think of Rory Best, Ireland player and Ireland captain for the last 14, 15 years?
Yeah, again, a player central to everything that was good about Irish rugby for a long, long time. A massive worker, not the flashiest of players, just one of the guys who got through his work and then built the captaincy role around him. Then he led by example and said the right things at the right times to the players, and just became very, very important to everything that was going Ireland's way for such a long time. An awful pity that it ends the way it has ended. But listen, he'll go down as one of the best that we've had, no doubt.
Shane, thanks a million. Speak to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, we're finishing on That's What I Call Sport this Sunday with the voice of the former, now former Ireland captain, Rory Best. He's been summing up his emotions to Irish Rugby TV.
Look, aside from the batters and bruised and mentally tortured, look, I think it's going to take a few days to get over that. I think that's not what we prepared for. It's not what we expected to deliver. And we're obviously absolutely gutted by the result and the performance and the fact that we had another little bit of history to create as a squad before we dispersed, and we didn't quite manage to do that. But like, I think in a couple of days I'll be able to look back and reflect and be very proud of this group of men and a coaching staff and a backup staff and everything that over the last certainly 6.5 years with Joe, but certainly the last almost 4 years since I've been lucky enough to captain this team, and we've achieved some unbelievable feats, and it's hard to see those now, obviously, in the wake of that, but we will in time, and I'll be very grateful for the support that I've been given by so many people.
There'll be criticisms and you know, reports and investigations and all that kind of thing, but there's a huge amount of positivity between this team and their fans, and it was evident again in the stadium today.
Yeah, look, there's always criticisms, and you know, we'll let people do reports, whatever. Thankfully now it doesn't really affect me and what I'm going to do going forward. But look, I think this team has probably flourished so much over the last few years because of how close we are to the fans and how much we appreciate everything they do for us. You know, even tonight, you know, I know there was a mass people trying to swap tickets because we didn't quite fire against Japan the way we'd like to, and people expected us to, and we expected ourselves to. And you know, the way people managed to get to the game and the start of the game, actually the whole way through the game, felt like a home game. And credit to the fans, you know, even when we were, remember, 22-0 down, and there was a massive chorus of the fields of Athenry, and it's those moments that you'll never forget. I think the bits that happened between the 0-80 minutes, they'll be a bit of a flash, and you'll remember bits of it, but you'll remember those atmosphere, you know, when we're standing facing the Haka tonight, and the crowd was electric, the Ireland's call, you know, all of those little things are things that are in the memory now, and while they're not jumping to the forefront because of you know, we didn't get what we wanted out of the game, that's the stuff that you'll be able to tell your kids and your grandkids and your friends and your family, and that's the stuff that you'll be immensely proud of whenever you get a little bit of time to reflect on it.
Rory, on behalf of everyone in Ireland and every kid who's pulled on a jersey and dreamed of playing in green, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you, Baron. Like, I'd like to just finish by just thanking absolutely everyone that's helped me along the way. It's been an incredible journey. I suppose it's in a way it's fitting that I started with a substantial loss to the All Blacks, and that's the way it's finished, but everything in between I've enjoyed so much, and you can't put into words the support you get along the way, because it's incredible, and it makes you so proud to be Irish and a part of this special legacy that is Irish rugby.
As always, so well summed up by the Ireland captain, Rory Best, speaking to Irish Rugby TV.
98 FM. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98 FM.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.